how the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make a public example of her, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we are come to worship him. What beautiful songs we've had about worshiping the King. You know, Christmas is a wonderful time. It's a time of joy, even though there's sadness. But it's a time of sharing with one another. What is giving all about, anyhow? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I love the Christmas carols. Yesterday, there came a strange group to our front yard, led by this man right here and his dear wife. Tony and Rachel are doing a wonderful job with our young people. Thank you for giving them a hand. And those who assist them and help them, they're doing a good job as well. And the parents, for the most part, are cooperating. It's a wonderful thing. We heard some beautiful music and got some good gifts, and we shared a few moments together. What a wonderful time. Well, it's so good to be in the house of God. What better time is Christmas time to honor and glorify the Christ of Christmas? What I have quoted for you, ladies and gentlemen, has given you the opportunity to hear chapter number one of the greatest story ever told. Hollywood could never script anything like this. The most skilled news outlets in the world could never put into words this magnificent story. Ladies and gentlemen, only God himself could write such a marvelous masterpiece of literature. And there are no faults in it. There are no frustrations. There are no mistakes. Everything is perfect. And that's the way it is with God. We're all so imperfect, but God is perfect. Glory to the Father, the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. I've entitled this message, O Come, Let Us Worship the King. Remember the wise men asked, Where is he that, watch these words, where is he that is born King of the Jews? Remember, Herod was appointed by the Roman Senate. He was not truly the King of the Jews. Oh, come, let us worship the King. It will all begin after we pray. And would you bow with me in prayer? Our Father, we are grateful this evening for the gathering of thy people. The Christmas season makes us think, helps us to realize what it's all about, that Jesus, thy Son, thy only begotten Son, full of grace and truth, came down to where we are, that one day we may go up to where he is. What a wonderful thought that is. Thank you for the music for all the Christmas carols and other music that's blessed our hearts already, and there's yet time for them to be blessed as the Christmas day comes. Let us come and worship the King. In his name I pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Well, I want to shout it from the housetop. Oh, worship the King, all glorious above, and gratefully sing his wonderful love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise. Come, let us worship the King. I see three reasons why we should worship him. Let us observe in the first place that we worship him for who he is. Who is this one who lived before the world began? Who is this one who was born of an earthly mother and a heavenly father? Who is this baby that was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of a virgin, wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger? Who is this child who was adored by the shepherds of Bethlehem? Who is this child who was worshipped by wealthy wise men, traveling thousands of miles and bringing with them gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh? Who is this child who was taken to Egypt to escape the wrath of Herod the king? Who is this one about whom it was said, "My son have I called out of Egypt"? Who is this one who grew up in Joseph's carpenter shop? Who is this 12-year-old boy who confounded the doctors of law in the temple at Jerusalem? Who is he who was destined to become the majestic ruler of the world? Who is this man who was baptized by John the Baptist in the River Jordan? Who is this man who walked on water, fed the multitudes, and turned the water into wine? Who is this man who taught the multitudes, healed the sick, and raised the dead? Who is this man who was called the Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world? Who is this man who was known as the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief? Who is this man who was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth? Who is this man, ladies and gentlemen? This man is the one and only begotten Son of God. This one is the Ancient of Days and the Master of Time. This one is our Savior, our Sovereign, our Sufficiency, our Supply, our Strength, our Satisfaction, our Security, our Standard Bearer, our Shepherd, and our Substitute. This one, ladies and gentlemen, is the Lily of the Valley. He's the Rose of Sharon. He's the bright and morning star. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the offspring and root of David and the great I Am. He's the resurrection and the life. He's the light of the world. He's the bread of life. He's the door of the sheep. He's the good shepherd. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the true vine. This one is truly the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This one is the Lord of life and the conqueror of death. This one is he who once was dead, but who is alive forevermore and has the keys of hell and death. This one is he who was declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you know a little bit about why there was such turmoil in Herod's palace that blessed night. when the King of the Jews was born, not appointed by Rome like Herod the Great. The star of Jacob rose in the east that night, and God was manifested in the flesh. He became like us. He became one of us. It cost him his life at Calvary. But he died that we might live. He conquered death that we would not have to face the sting. The King of the Jews, the star of Jacob. And he was manifested in the flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the world comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light. Was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, who believe, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word, don't miss it, was made flesh, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. What a Savior. I see in the second place, we worship him because of what he has done. Have you thought lately about what Jesus has done for you? Think about it. He died. He gave up his life that we might have life. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. And by whose stripes we are healed. He paid our sin debt, not in part, but in whole. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. He died for the sins of every member of Adam's wretched, ruined, rebellious race. He healed the brokenhearted. He broke the chains of sin and set the captive free. He fulfilled the law of Moses, that we no longer live under the curse. He redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. He rose triumphantly the third day from the grave. And 40 days later, he ascended victoriously and took his place at the right hand of God, where he is now making intercession for us, even as I speak. Please don't miss this. He completed his work on earth when he cried triumphantly from the cross, "It is finished." Amen. Finished. It's over. The price is paid. The victory is won. And we're on our way up because Jesus stretched out his arms and said, "It's finished. It's over. The suffering is through." John said there were many other things which Jesus did which are not written in this book. In fact, he said, "I suppose that if everything that Christ did was written in the book, there would not, the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Isn't that amazing? The world itself couldn't even contain all the books. If all of them were written, the world wouldn't be big enough to contain them. He did a lot of things that we don't even know about. I see in the third place, we worship him not only for what he, who he is and what he has done, but for what he's going to do. I'm convinced that the next thing he's going to do is to rapture his church and take us home to live in the mansions that he's gone to prepare for us. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, or inasmuch as I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I give you Paul's testimony. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as them who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so shall those in him shall be risen again. He's at the right hand of God. He's waiting on the word to come. God's going to send it. By the way, keep looking up, folks. Jesus is coming soon. Don't ever forget it. He could have come back the day after he rose from the grave. He may come back tonight. It may be 1,000 years. But I personally believe that Jesus is coming soon. Now, following the rapture, and we believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. We don't believe we as believers are going through the tribulation period. We've been saved out of it. But when the rapture has taken place, there begins the tribulation period, the 7 years of Jacob's trouble, the 70th week of Daniel, all better known as the tribulation period. When all of that is over, there's going to be another coming, truly the second coming, when Jesus Christ will come in revelation glory to defeat the Antichrist and to establish his kingdom of righteousness and peace and prosperity on the earth. He will reign for 1,000 years from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth. Listen to what John said about it from that lonely wind-swept Isle of Patmos. He said, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness doth he judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. Upon his head were many crowns. And he had a name but no one knew but he himself. And ladies and gentlemen, the armies in heaven will follow him on white horses. If you don't know how to ride a horse, you better get ready for it. My problem is when I go up, the horse goes down. When I go down, the horse goes up. He has a name that no one knew but he himself. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations and rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And upon his vesture and upon his thigh he had a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. What a wonderful Savior. Jesus shall reign where'er the sun doth his successive journeys run. His kingdom stretch from shore to shore till moon shall wax and wane no more. Behold the islands with their kings, and Europe her finest tribute brings. From north to south the princes meet to pay their homage at his feet. Stay tuned for the good news. We will reign with him. John said, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, that they shall be priests of God and of Christ. Now watch this. And shall reign with him for 1,000 years. Wow. When the sun has turned to darkness and the moon to blood, and the stars of heaven have fallen out of their sockets, we will continue to worship him, world without end. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, unto him be glory and dominion forever and forever. I've told you before, several people have asked me in the last 100 years, what does that word forever mean? It means forever we'll live and reign with him. Aren't you happy about that? If you're here tonight and you don't know that you're saved, what a wonderful time it would be. The last Sunday before Christmas Day, people are gathered to worship, and you really can't worship as God's people worship until you trust him as your Savior. Let's stand together for our prayer, please. Everyone standing. Our heads are bowed. I wonder if there would be anyone here tonight. Altar's open. If you need to come to the altar and tell God you need him, just come on. You don't have to wait till we sing or pray. But if you're here tonight and you know that you've never trusted Christ, if you died tonight, you know you'd have to be eternally separated from God in the literal hell where the fires are never quenched and the worm never dies. Heads are bowed and the Holy Spirit is speaking. As I said, the altar's open. If you have a special need tonight, maybe you have a loved one, you don't want to see them die and go to hell. Have you prayed for them lately? Have you put your life on the altar for them? If you have a need tonight, just step out of your seat. As I said this morning, you don't have to have a prescribed prayer. You don't have to recite all the catechisms. Just tell God that you need him. We're going to sing. Brother Corey is going to sing our invitation. I'm going to pray, and if God speaks to your heart, I want you to come. Our Father, we're grateful for this hour. We're grateful for Christ, born of a virgin, lived and died and rose again, and is coming again. May we never forget. In Jesus' name, with our heads still bowed.